Hi, this is Allison Sheridan from the NoSillaCast podcast, hosted at podfeet.com. This is show number 18, and today is Sunday, November 20th, 2005. Well, I'd like to welcome our new listeners from the Czech Republic and Saudi Arabia. We're now up to 32 countries checking out the site or listening to the podcast. Hey, you know what's really frustrating? When you record a 30-minute podcast and then you realize your fan had kicked in halfway through and it's completely unintelligible. Well, that's what happened to me today, so let's see if I can do the whole darn thing twice and keep my energy level up. Well, I'm still riding high from the expo. It's just going to take me weeks and weeks, I think, to slow down the enthusiasm. I've been talking about it to every single person I could tie down and get them to listen to it, listen about it, and bothering people at work. It's just been great. So one thing I can't believe, I forgot to mention that I got to meet Steve Gibson at the Podcast Expo. He does a podcast today called Security Now with Leo Laporte, and he also has a website called grc.com, which is has an incredible tool called Shields Up. Shields Up allows you to monitor your system and see whether you've got security holes in your router or your firewall. And that's kind of a cool tool. I also understand he wrote the software called SpinRite, which is a hard disk utility program that I have not personally experienced, but I understand is pretty good. Again, just like I talked about last week, it was so cool because he was just a regular guy talking to me, you know, just a nice guy having a conversation, asking questions, getting ideas, you know. Everybody there was just a nice guy getting interesting questions asked. So really enjoyed meeting Steve. That was a big thrill. I really like his podcast, Security Now, and have enjoyed watching him on Leo Laporte's Call for Help show up in Canada as well. A tool that I found, a piece of hardware actually to buy at the expo, was called the Cable Yo-Yo. Before you get too excited, it's only $5. It's a little piece of two pieces of plastic, about 3 inches on a side, and you wrap cables around in the middle of it. The idea is for cable management, and I know you've got as many cables laying around in your way as I do. In particular, the one I found it most useful for is my my iPod cable. So it's kind of hard to describe. You got to go check it out on the website, but it's a cute little plastic thing that solves a problem. You know how I love to hear a problem solved. So anyway, it's you can find that at cableyoyo.com. I checked out the people at Liberated Syndication. Their website is called libsyn.com, and you may have started to see a lot of podcasters using Libsyn for their podcasting site. These guys have really tailored their business model for podcasters. So instead of charging you exorbitant rates for bandwidth, what they charge you for is how much disk space you actually take up, how much storage. And then bandwidth is, believe it or not, supposedly free infinite bandwidth. I'm not quite sure how they're going to pull that off, but they've got low cost, and it's something between $5 and $30 a month, depending on how much storage you want, but infinite bandwidth for all of those levels. This might be something that'll work for me in the future when I run out of space here on, or run out of bandwidth over on VisiWeb. VisiWeb, in contrast, charges you, your bandwidth dollars get worse the more you use. So dollar per bandwidth gets worse the more bandwidth. So when I run out of bandwidth here, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do, but I might check out libsyn.com. There's a service out there, and I found these guys at the expo too. It's called Taldia, T-A-L-D-I-A.com. I talked to this woman, and she started describing this thing that they do, and I asked her if it was a podcast, and she looked at me kind of funny, and she says, "I don't know." And I thought that was a really odd answer, but when I checked into what they actually do, I realized her confusion. So picture this. The service that they provide is to give you news, let's call it real news for sake of argument here, from places like the Associated Press. Purchase content that would normally you'd find in a newspaper. So for $5 a month, you get a subscription to this service, and you can tailor the kind of news you want to hear, you can tailor how much of it you want to hear, which kinds of subjects, and what time you want that news to be available to you. So you go onto their website, you log in, and you've got a bunch of different choices of different kinds of news, and you give each one of those a rating of 0 to 5. Where 0 would mean you don't want to hear about it at all, and 5 would be that's a high priority. So let's say I go in and I say, well, I want to give tech news a 5, and I want to pick up a little sports, so let's give that a 3, and maybe you know, politics I want, or world news, something like that. Let's say I'm going to give that a 1. The next question that I would answer is, how much content do I want? And that's in time, so I can tell it I've got I want 15 minutes worth, I want a half hour, an hour, whatever. So let's say I pick an hour, and then it asks you, what time do you want that content available? So let's say I'm going to leave for work by 8 o'clock. I want that content ready at 7, so I can hook my iPod up right around 7 o'clock. So once you set that up, it creates a list, it creates an audio podcast sort of a thing, an audio file, which contains all of the information that you've asked for, prioritized in the way you asked for it. So since I gave tech news a much higher rating, it would give me a lot of tech news, a little bit of sports, maybe a little bit of world news. And then if you have a PC, it puts a client on your PC that allows that goes out and pulls this information down at 7 in the morning and then moves it over to your iTunes library, so you sync your iPod, and then those news items are available to you when you plug in. If you're on a Mac, you actually have to go out to the website and you have to click a button, which is not a really big deal, but my little friend Winston over at Taldia assured me that they're working on a Mac client that actually does the movement of the information from the website over to your iTunes. It's an interesting model because it's not really podcasting. It doesn't use RSS and it doesn't use enclosures, and you don't use a podcatcher to do it. But and you don't listen to the same person necessarily talking. So you aren't saying, okay, I want to listen to Adam Curry or Daryl Sandrow. You actually are saying that this is the kind of content I want. And you don't know who's going to be reading it to you. They have professional people they pay to do the reading. But from the user's perspective, it's audio content delivered to your iTunes library that you can take with you anytime you want and is available when you want. So it's kind of an interesting model, and I think I understand why she didn't know if it was podcasting, because I think from the user experience, it's kind of a lot like podcasting. Interesting idea. It might work, might not. Don't know, but check it out yourself over at taldia.com. So I can tell on my podcast that I'm starting to get more Windows listeners, and that really makes me happy. Not that I prefer Windows listeners or Mac listeners, but I am trying to give a little bit of content that maybe is helpful for cross-platform ideas. I am a Mac user myself, but I want to make sure I give some content that maybe could be valuable for Windows users as well. I don't want to leave anybody out. But as I'm starting to see the Windows listener count go up, I'm noticing that I'm seeing a lot of people using Internet Explorer. And I want to encourage you to check out Firefox instead. And I'm sure you've heard of it, but let me explain in my view why it is you don't really want to use Internet Explorer. Besides the fact that it's an old clunky browser that hasn't been updated in a long time, it was originally created with two very powerful tools that were actually a good idea. They included a thing called VBScript and one called ActiveX. And these two programs were really cool because they allowed someone to create a program on the internet that could be run on your computer, and you wouldn't have to have it loaded on your computer, they could do it for you. And that sounded like such a terrific, powerful idea of a way to bring the software applications to the internet. The problem is that there's evil in the world, and that's the one thing I think they didn't count on. Because of the evil in the world, these nasty people get out there, they write programs that run junk on your computer and infect you and cause you all kinds of grief, and you know, browser hijacking and all these kinds of nonsense happen to you. And so unfortunately, it's better to use a browser that is not as powerful. So I really recommend Firefox. It's available at mozilla.org. That's mozilla.org. And if you go over there and download Firefox, what you're going to find is it's a very light, snappy little browser. It's got the modern conveniences of tab browsing, and it has pop-up blockers and things like that that make life just so much simpler than using Internet Explorer. There's a little bit of confusion over there because there's really three products. There's Mozilla, there's Firefox, and there's Thunderbird. Firefox is the browser. Mozilla is a combination of products, and Thunderbird is actually the email program. If you want a whole bunch of stuff piled together, go for Mozilla. That gives you the email program, gives you the browser, gives you a web content creation program, and I forget what the fourth thing is. Maybe it's a news group reader or something like that. But just to get started, I'd really encourage you to go over and just download Firefox and start setting it up. It'll automatically import your bookmarks from IE, and I promise you, you'll find a good experience over there. Works like a charm. One of the things that you can run into with a lot of websites have been created where people think you have to have Internet Explorer in order to use their tools. So what they'll do is they'll run a little check to see if you're running Internet Explorer. If you're not, it's going to pop up a window and it'll say, no, you can't use it because you're not running Internet Explorer. While being a Mac user, I'm not going to run Internet Explorer 6 because it doesn't even exist. But it turns out you can actually tell Firefox to pretend that it's Internet Explorer. So what you can do is you can download a tool called the User Agent Switcher, also from out from SourceForge on the web. You can download this little tool called the User Agent Switcher, and you can tell it, pretend to be Internet Explorer. Let me give an example. The U.S. Postal Service has this great service where you can go out and request labels to be printed for packages. So I want to just send something off to my daughter. I can go in there. I can pull up my little address book on their website, say I want to ship something to her. It weighs 1 pound, 11 ounces, and it prints out this beautiful label for me, and I can even schedule delivery or pickup by my postal worker for it. So I never have to go to the post office before, or ever again. This is like the greatest application ever made. They can have one that does the DMV. I'll just think I died and went to heaven. So anyway, the problem is this only runs on the PC. And while I complain to the U.S. Postal Service that they're missing 25 million Americans who have bought Macs, they didn't write back to me, sadly. But anyway, what I found out was if I tell Firefox, pretend to be IE using this user agent switcher, it works. So I'm now able to print labels at the U.S. Postal Service using Firefox. So anyway, I'd really encourage you to give this thing a check out. Firefox is light and snappy. It's not a lot of bloatware. It's the opposite of bloatware. It's very light. It doesn't have a lot of features, but you can add those features when you want them. Instead of getting this big superset of all the features anybody else ever wanted, you get to add just the features you want. Anyway, head over to mozilla.org and check that out. Like to see a lot more Firefox users connected. I don't think I've ever talked about how much I like Wired Magazine. I want to encourage you to take a look at this magazine. It's kind of geeky, but it's amazing in its versatility of information. My buddy Ron gave me the subscription last year, and I read this magazine cover to cover. There isn't a single article. Well, okay, I'm lying. The whole gaming section I pretty much skip. But other than that, it's got a lot of really interesting articles that cover just this vast variety of topics that I can't believe there's so many different things in this. So let me give you some examples to get you excited. There was an article in here about a guy who was born partially deaf, but he had a favorite song. He loved to listen to the song Bolero, just obsessed by it, just really, really liked Bolero. Well, one day his hearing shut completely off, turned off, went from poor to nothing overnight. He was devastated, but he ended up getting a cochlear implant. And the cochlear implant is a device that's actually stuck inside your head, inside your skull, and it has little electrodes that stimulate the auditory nerve in order to give you a semblance of sound. And he walks through in here exactly how it was his brain learned to interpret these stimulations as sound. It was really, really interesting, but he couldn't actually hear Bolero. It was flat and it didn't sound good because these things are really tuned for speech. So it takes you through the story of how he worked with a bunch of different people to actually have the firmware upgrades done to his cochlear implant to get better and better sound. He wasn't done with his quest by the end of the article, but he was getting better and better sound over time, and I'm convinced this guy's going to push the envelope until he can hear Bolero as good as possible. By the time the article ends, he can hear the piccolo, so it's a good thing. The drum still sounded weird. But you see what I mean about how this article is just like, where would you read an article like that? I mean, just nothing like it. There's another article in there about in Qatar, they have a hobby called camel racing, where rich folks sit around and watch their camels race. They don't actually bet or anything. I guess it's just a chutzpah sort of thing to say that, you know, my camel's better than your camel. But it's been around for centuries. But the problem with it is the best camel jockeys are half-starved four-year-old boys. So they actually have used slaves over the centuries to ride these camels. Well, the emir of Qatar decided that he didn't want to have slaves anymore, and he's trying to modernize the country. He's doing a lot of things to really bring them into the 21st century here. And so he contracted with some companies to try to develop a robot that would ride these camels. And they go through this elaborate description of how they had to figure out what kind of robot could do it and what kind of things the robot had to be able to do, and obviously cultural things they had to deal with. And they have actually eliminated the slavery of these little boys in Qatar. Unfortunately, the downside is they were sent back to the Sudan, which I understand if there's a place worse than slavery anywhere, it's going to the Sudan. But perhaps for the future, this is really a step in the right direction. But again, just so interesting that an article that I wouldn't have possibly found anyplace else. Really, really enjoy Wired magazine. Fun, neat little thing. AT&T has created a natural speech reader. And I know you've all listened to computers talk before, and it's, you know, wah, 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 kind of stuff. But these guys have developed a really cool speech reader. You can check it out at elvis.naturalvoices.com/demos. Anyway, it's pretty cool. You go in there, and I'm going to give you some screen snapshots on the web, on the show notes. But you choose the language, and there were 5 or 6 or 7 different languages. You choose the voice that you want to have it read in. There was a girl named Crystal, and I think the guy's name was Mike. And then you get to pick your output format, so you can have it in WAV or AAC or a couple other formats. And you also get to pick your sample rate. The sound from this is amazing. They've really made some strides forward that if you weren't paying attention, I would bet you would think this was actually a real person. Really, really amazing. The outstanding quality of this thing. I'm not quite sure what they're doing with it. I didn't actually read any of the articles around it, why they have this up there, but it's really, really fun to play with, so I played with it. Well, I know you're all sitting on the edge of your seats wondering whether I've gotten my money back from Samsung yet for my monitor that I bought in June that they could never send me a functional model. If you didn't hear my rant about it, you probably don't want to, but anyway, I did a rant a couple of weeks ago about my experiences with the abysmal customer service from Samsung. Well, shockingly, I don't have my check yet. Yes, June, let's see, July, August, September, October, November. 5 months later, I still do not have my $500 back, or $400 back that I was supposed to get. I did check with them, and my little friend Grace said that, yeah, they sent the check, and she checked on it, and she said, yeah, we sent it to blah, blah, blah address, and it turned out they had my address wrong. They misspelled the name of my street so badly that I did not get the check. Well, she was able to verify that it had not been cashed, and so she had a cancellation order put in, and she swears to me, that check is in the mail. Well, it's been about a week and a half now, and I haven't seen it yet, so stay tuned. I'll be sure to let you know if I ever do get the money. It really stands out as comedic since in September I finally gave up on Samsung ever giving me a working monitor. Yes, I waited 3 months, worked on with them for 3 months before I gave in and bought a monitor from HP. And guess what? I got my rebate check back from HP already. So if you're looking at two products, one of them's from Samsung and one of them's from HP, run as fast as you can away from the Samsung and buy the HP. I definitely get customer service from them. If you ever do buy something from Samsung and you need customer service, just throw it away. Just throw it in the trash. Run away, because you will never get any help from these people. Well, it's time for the movie review. You'll be glad to know I didn't do movie review last week, because last week I let the kids and Steve pick the movie. They came home with House of Wax. Now, if you really want to see Paris Hilton meet her demise in a grisly, gruesome way, then this is the movie for you. But it was kind of funny, actually, in a gruesome, gory, distasteful kind of way. But I don't recommend it, and I am trying to keep this as a family-friendly show, so I'm not going to go into any more details on that movie. But it was kind of funny. So this week we watched a little nicer film. We saw Kicking and Screaming with Will Ferrell. If you've ever had kids in soccer, or you like Will Ferrell, or you like a really predictable Bad News Bear kind of film, this is the one for you. Not exactly high intellectual stimulation, but it was very enjoyable. Robert Duvall and Mike Ditka play interesting but predictable characters, but I still really liked them. They were a lot of fun. They play a couple of rivals in a suburb, and they were pretty cute. Mike Ditka actually plays himself in the film, which makes it even funnier. So, you know, worth a rent. Definitely a rental movie. I'm really glad I didn't pay $8 or $10 to see it, but worth $3, that's for sure. Bob Marcus from jogtunes.com sent me some information on his website. And, you know, one of the things I always like to do is to really focus on applications that solve a problem that we have. And I've had a couple of people come to me asking, well, saying that they want to jog to their iTunes music, but they have trouble finding things that are at the right pace. So this guy has developed a cool site. My friend Suzanne asked this specific question about how you find songs that fit the right pace. Bob Marcus has developed a MySQL database of songs in the iTunes Music Store with different tempos. So he's created the ability for joggers, runners, and other exercisers to go in and create a playlist according to the paces that they run. So he selects songs from the iTunes Music Store that have tempos in the range of 80 to 110 beats per minute for warm-up and cool-down, and 150 to 180 beats per minute for jogging and running. He puts all those songs in his MySQL searchable database on the site. He creates playlists that you can use his stock playlists, and they're linked to iMixes in iTunes. And if you click on the iMix, you can go over to iTunes and hear the songs that he's put together in that order. His iMixes last about 30 minutes and contain a sequence of tunes that go from warm-up to peak pace to cool-down. And users are invited to submit their own playlists from songs in the database or from their personal libraries. Might want to check it out at jogtunes.com. Wanted to do a little update on Feeder. Feeder is the application I use to create my podcast feed. And one of the things you can do is you can... I was trying to validate my feed. Some of these services that I've wanted to put my podcast in insist that you have validated feed first. So I ran feedvalidator.com and checked it out, and oh, my feed was a mess. So I, of course, assumed that I couldn't possibly be at fault, and I wrote immediately to Reinvented Software and asked them, what gives? If Feeder creates my feed, then how can it possibly be my fault? Well, this great guy named Steve over at Reinvented Software, he checks it out, and he found all these things I'd done wrong. And they were, of course, all things that I had caused. But he patiently walked me through each and every one of my errors and told me what I needed to do about it. And it was really helpful because he helped me realize how I could be causing my own problems, and which, of course, more importantly, would keep me from causing those problems in the future. He wanted me to tell you that there was there's an update coming to Feeder because there's some changes that iTunes has done, or that Apple has done. Like, they changed one field from being uppercase to lowercase, and if you don't have that in there, man, it's not going to work. So anyway, they're fixing some other problems, so you should be expecting an update in the next week or so from Reinvented Software. There's another piece of software that I use from Reinvented Software called Kit. And it's a little organizational tool that allows you to import pictures, text files, create little notes, and it's cool because it works sort of like Tiger does, where you've got the ability to create little smart groups. So you can put tags into files, and then the smart groups pull those things together. So you can say, okay, everything that says iTunes in it, in any of my notes in here, I want those all to go into one folder, or to be automatically pulled in one folder. So I use it to organize my files. I know I'm not using half of what it can do. I really recommend going over to the website and checking out. They've got some great little demos that just show how you can use the application to do the things you want. It's kind of fun to watch them. They're real light little quick demos to check out. So I recommend checking this out, again, at reinventedsoftware.com. So Adam Curry has mentioned in his podcast, The Daily Source Code, that he used to do his own show notes, so they were kind of cryptic. It was just kind of a list of the websites that he talked about, and links to promos and stuff. But now people are creating his show notes using a wiki, and he was complaining because he said now that the show notes are so good, people are not listening as much as they used to. A lot of people just go look at the show notes. And so he was kind of discouraged by that because he really wants him to come listen. Well, as much as I love the sound of my own voice and would love you to come listen to my podcast, if what you really want to do is read, why would I not want you to do that? Because to me, this is all about the listener. If I'm not providing value to you, then you shouldn't be listening to me. Or if you don't like listening and you'd rather read, then you should be allowed to read. Or if you'd rather listen, you should listen. The whole key to podcasting, of what's so powerful about it to me, is it's what you want, when you want, where you want it, and how you want it. So I'm going to keep doing elaborate show notes. They take me a lot of time, but it helps me organize my thoughts anyway. And that way, if you would rather read the show notes, you don't get the flavor, the exciting flavor of listening to me. But if you'd rather just read the show notes, hey, go for it. That's great with me. I don't have any problem with that. As my friend Niraj pointed out, to be compliant with the ADA, for the hearing impaired, show notes are a must. So I'm going to keep doing those, even if it's only Niraj listening to them. Over on Adam Christensen's podcast, The MacCast, they've been talking a lot about virtual network computing. The problem this solves is your mom has a problem with her computer, right? And your mom's far away, and you can either drive over to her house and fix it, or wait until Thanksgiving to fix it, or God forbid, you can call her on the phone, and you know that conversation. It goes something like this. Okay, mom, go down over the left, go to start, run. No, start, mom. No, left mouse click. No, not right click. No, left mouse click, mom. You know the conversation. You've had this conversation, haven't you? You're laughing right now. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, anyway, imagine if you could just run a little application on her computer, make her computer a server, and your computer's the client, and you could actually drive her computer. You could just fix it for her, or even teach her. Let her do it, and you can be watching what she's doing and saying, no, mom, left mouse click. It's sort of the same thing. But in any case, you could do it yourself. Well, that's the idea of VNC, and the cool thing is VNC was developed under the GNU public license, so it is open source. People sell applications that do some enhancement, but there's also a lot of freeware versions of it. So what you do is you download there's two applications. One is the client and one is the server, and the server is the computer you want to control, and then you can just connect into the computer. So anyway, they're talking about this over in the Maccast, and I realized I already wrote a tutorial for this. I actually wrote it for myself because I can never remember how to do it. I just forget how to do it. It's not that complicated, but it takes me about 15 minutes to remember each time, so I thought, well, heck, I'll just document it while I'm working on it. So I'm going to post that up on my website. I don't know exactly where I'm going to put it yet, but I'll figure that out tonight. You can go check that out. In my quest to be more cross-platform, I went ahead and did a scary thing. I downloaded VNC on my son's XP machine, and within about 15 minutes, I was able to figure out how to get that thing going, and I was able to control the PC from my Macintosh. So that's kind of cool for me, too, because one of the things I'd like to be able to do is make sure things look right on a PC the same as they look on a Mac. And in general, I've not really done that much testing. I just fling it out there and hope it looks okay. But now I'll be able to do some testing on my own. So go over to my website and look for that tutorial. Hopefully that'll help you if you want to set something like that up. Kind of fun to play with. Well, that's about it. I did manage to record the podcast twice, so hope you enjoyed it. And that's it for today's episode of the NoSillaCast. Please drop me a line. A lot of people are writing to me now, and that's really fun. I just really like to get the feedback, people asking questions. It's been great. So drop me a line at Allison@podfeet.com.